you're up.
I just noticed the time. Wow. And you're all very busy. So why don't we reschedule this for 2 weeks from now, when you're all more prepared?
Oh, no. We were done early. We got plenty of time.
Come on, Moira. Audition.
I would love to learn from a professional singer.
Someone helped me all that long. It should have been you. Someone's arms were big and strong. It should have been you. I warned you I was lonely, but you didn't seem to care. No, no, no. I figured a bit too stupid. You had a heat of woman's tears. Woo, step and a shank low. I don't want to see good to be. Please, don't have a touch. Hakanumani see. Shepherd isn't eating to be hot to shy. Kakalumani, but you can suck. Oh, my nipper. Hatsani. Someone loved me all night long. It should have been you.
You.
That's the end.
Wow. That was different.
TBTL.
Music is very powerful. Like that Cards for Kids commercial. Before I saw that commercial, I wanted to donate a car to kids. But that song changed my mind.
And that's satire. Right? And that's irony. And that's coincidence. Is it metaphor?
It's a 16-4 with a loop at the hook. Freeze the bars and mute the quarter tones. If it ever feels like we're dragging, we're not. It's just that kind of tune.
Well, good morning, everybody. Really cuts right through, doesn't it? Welcome to a Wednesday morning edition of TBTL, the show that just might be too beautiful to live.
Ready to laugh and drop till your socks come off?
My name is Luke Burbank. I'm your host.
I've got something to say.
Coming to you today from the offices of Walsh, Walsh, and Dormat in the Wallingford neighborhood of Seattle, Washington. It is episode 2586 in a collector series.
Let the fun begin.
And we got stories for you, people. We got some stories, including an interview with Barbara Streisand in a magazine about her life, her loves, her career, but also about her dogs.
He was a little dog named Snuggles,
which it turns out are clones from her beloved other dog that passed away.
Those scientists better check their hypotenuses, dude.
Barbara Streisand, let me just repeat this in case you're new to the show and new to understanding how forward promotion works. Barbara Streisand has two dogs that are the clones of her other dog. And that fascinates me. So we will talk about that. We'll talk about emails and V-mails. Maybe, I don't know if this story has now gotten a little stale, but we could also talk about my relationship with Twitter, which has been evolving over the last couple of days. And we'll do all of that with the help of this young man. He's sitting right across from me. He's the longest running Cobro of the program, the Hodor of podcasting, known for his drawings of tall ships, their grace and their splendor. One thing he knows is that there's a right way to rock and a wrong way to roll.
Do you set yourself up to completely fail the crowd, or you go out there and you rock a house?
He's planning on rocking a house right here, right now. He's Andrew Walsh. He joins me now. Hello, my dude.
I was actually going to take the other path today.
Hmm.
Is that also an option? Just go out there and fail?
Well, we've certainly done it before this week. So here we are.
Here we are. I apologize in advance. It's great to have you here. I have been feeling great lately. Last time you were over here, I had a couple of coughing fits. Probably troubled the listeners. Probably troubled you. Might have even coughed into my mouth or into my hand instead of my elbow.
Yeah.
But I'm all better. Everything's fine. But for some reason, I just have something caught in my throat. I've felt it all morning. So there's going to be a lot of sling blading during the a lot of that during the show today.
I'm just curious about what it's going to finally be when it comes out.
Yeah, like, that's good content for tomorrow's show.
Yeah.
Depending on when it comes
out. I feel
out.
Like it could be some car keys.
It's amazing the stuff I've been eating.
A partially eaten CPAP machine.
You ever, when Addie, maybe this is putting you a little bit too much on the spot. When Addie was little, did you ever have to, very little, take her to the doctor only to find out that she had something in her body that she shouldn't, like a Lego in her ear or a key up her nose? I feel like parents have a lot of stories like that.
Yeah, she did not. She was not the kind of kid who would jam things up their nose. I don't know if that tends to be a boy thing or a girl thing. But it certainly wasn't an Addy thing.
Well, I think we all know very clearly that boys push toy trucks up their nose and girls push little dollies up their nose. Right,
pink dollies. Up their nose.
That's how that works.
Yeah.
Anyway, good to have you here. Let's hope
nice
that nothing
here.
Comes out of my face.
Now, I hope I'm not putting you on blast here.
I know what you're going to say.
What do you think I'm going to say?
You're going to call me out for waking up a half hour before the show started.
Well, it was interesting because you said, okay, I did just get up a half hour ago. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm saying that that's like late or whatever, because
I said that at 9:25. So technically I was up a few minutes before 9, which is, I mean, that's...
Yeah.
That's like an adult.
Absolutely. But I guess I was just curious, what do you think the impact is going to be on you doing the show basically within a half hour of being dead asleep? Do you think you're going to be like, will you be sharper? Will you be more dull, but kind of in a loosey-goosey way that brings its own kind of energy to things?
More dull, huh? More dull. What you meant to say was, will I actually be dull for the first time on TBTL ever?
Yes.
I don't know. I think it's going to start with me clearing my throat a lot. I probably don't ask me any like Ryan Reynolds movies or any kind of like cultural reference that I'm going to have to like try to think of somebody's name or a street name or anything like that. Let's avoid that kind of stuff. And I should be fine.
God, that rules out at least 60% of what I had planned for today's show. A lot of Reynolds-related content.
I know. He did come up yesterday, I believe.
He did, because of the movie Van
Milder.
Van Milder.
Right.
Why wasn't that a show title?
Oh, because I was dull yesterday and I didn't write it down.
Were you sleeping right before yesterday's show, too?
You know what? I've never been awake for more than 2 hours before starting the show. That's my secret.
Ooh. I just want to see what Ryan Reynolds has been up to. Jeez. Born October of 1976. Dude is my exact age.
Whoa, I'm November of 76.
What am I doing wrong? Like, I think I attributed Ryan Reynolds' just incredible handsomeness to, you know, good genetics and also probably a exercise plan that's working for him. But I did not think, in fact, no, I'm like 4 months older than him. I'm... Thank God.
Yeah.
But like you, I look at Ryan Reynolds and I don't think he's a 41-year-old man.
Oh, you're going at it from the other way. I was thinking when I hear that somebody is my age and they're very successful, I think I get sad, like, because everybody's so young now and I'm so old and unaccomplished.
Well, let's not even get into that because that's its own thing. Because
he's like a month older than me. So I can be like, well, yeah, I mean, in a month I might have Ryan Reynolds' career.
Right.
Like I can always say, well, he just had that much time ahead of me. Does it say actually what his birthday day is?
It's I think it's October 23rd. Yeah, like in a month you might be one of the voices in the upcoming film, The Croods 2. You might be playing the role of Guy.
I might.
Or you might be playing Detective Pikachu in the Detective Pikachu film, which is also in production.
See, when you have these conversations in this context, sure, it's fun to go down somebody's IMDb page and make fun of the stuff they're in. But then you remember this person is 29 days older than me or whatever, and they have an IMDb page, so...
Oh yeah, I mean, listen. I don't think anybody can say that Ryan Reynolds hasn't had and isn't having an amazing career. In fact, that's why, like, I'm not reading those things to try to point out that like Ryan Reynolds' star is fading. It's not at all. Those Deadpool movies.
Oh God, that's right. That's him.
That's him.
That's huge. It's a huge franchise. I forgot.
Yeah, people love that. So that's why there must be something about the soul of a Reynolds. No, there must be something about doing voiceover for these kinds of presumably big blockbuster animated movies where it's probably nice because you don't have to travel to do it. You can record your part in LA. You can have basically a normal schedule, like hang out with your family. I assume he has some kids. and then go in and then record for a few hours, or I don't know how it works. No one's ever asked me to be in any of the Croods franchise.
Really? Well, I don't know. We'll see. Croods 3 is coming out.
I have to do a voiceover for Carrie's work.
Oh, really?
And I'm like,
is this a favor or is this a gig?
It's, well, I guess it's a gig because she's
that's my wife.
She's insisting on paying me, which I have very mixed feelings about, because I'm doing a voiceover for some video presentation that they're doing, and it's kind of a little bit of a character. It's sort of like the shtick is 1950s educational film.
Oh yeah, great.
And she said, "Hey, would you do this?" And I said, "Well, of course, but like," and she goes, "Yeah, we'll pay you." And I go, "No, you don't have to pay me." She goes, "Well, if we hired someone, we would pay them." So I guess that there's sort of a point there. But I was like, if you don't like my read, like if I right. send you this file of me doing this read and you don't like it, I do not want you to feel obligated to use it. That's right. The part that makes me nervous. I feel like I'm going to mess it up. And then, but she's not going to want to hurt my feelings. And then I'm going to bring the whole video down with my questionable voiceover.
Yeah, I know that. It's like, if somebody hires you and you have no personal connection to them at all, there's a whole process and they're paying you some money. You're going to do your best or close to your best. You're going to supply them with a product. They're going to give you feedback. You can adjust or they can fire you, or they can give you a raise and go with your first cut. Like, all of those are possibilities. They're probably not going to give you a raise of a contract gig, but it's just a business deal. And so there's some protection from feelings and stuff like that. Maybe personally, you don't want your reel rejected, I guess, on the first time, but you understand there's an editing process. But in a certain way, I think the fact that they're paying you will, maybe that's it. Like, paying you means that you're not doing this as a friend or family member. You are doing this as an employee, so it makes it easier for them to give you feedback.
Well, I'm open to it. I just it's right on the edge of the amount of actiness that I'm comfortable with. Mm. I'm really not a good actor, despite starring in a number of productions at Jesus Creek High School in Seattle. I'm not good at acting, as anyone who's ever heard me try to do a character on this show will attest. And so I'm just worried that it's a little, I just don't want it to be bad, but then have her not want to hurt my feelings. And again, this is the issue with nepotism. This is why nepotism is a problem. Also, I should mention my security clearance has been downgraded. And so I'm kind of little Jared Kushner material.
Yes, really.
Early on a Wednesday.
That's going to stand the test of time, too. Hey, so do you know that one of my favorite things is to go to internetarchive.org and watch old educational films?
I did not know that, but can you lay a little bit on me so I can get in the character?
Yes. So I just grabbed two here at random. There's so many of them. I can play for you a movie called Sex Hygiene from 1942.
Ooh, okay.
Or The Mystery of Time from 1957.
Well, I like Sex Hygiene.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, normally,
this is 42, though, so this might be earlier than the voice you're going
and
for.
And normally I wouldn't say that we should play a video called Sex Hygiene, but considering the era that this is from, I'm sure it's actually not
raw.
It's probably not inappropriate, because they're probably using very clinical language that's very antiquated.
And I'm seeing in the still screen here that it's showing like I was going to say army guys. I'm just going to stick with that. It's showing a bunch of army guys standing around playing pool. So this might be towards the troops and not
right.
the children.
Will penicillin come up in this video?
This film was previously classified as restricted. It is now unclassified. Official training film of the War Department. Restricted.
By the way, what are the chances that this film takes a nuanced approach to sexual interaction between men and women?
Let her guide you is the first tile. No, just joking. Here it is. Sex Hygiene. Bunch of guys in the bar, military members, playing pool.
Hey, Pete, where are you rushing?
Going to town, Sergeant. The town.
Don't be a mug all your life.
Who's a mug? You may go for this recreation gag, but I got ideas of my own. So long.
So far, this is really
they really let
off.
Things breathe
yeah,
back in the 1940s.
All right, now we're seeing a record spinning. Please, somebody, let's get to the action here. Close up on a cigar on a banister. The man picks it up. Looks like he's a private. He's putting it in his mouth. He's putting on his belt. He's standing next to a statue of a naked lady. I thought something was going to happen there, but nope, we've already switched scenes.
Cases have broken out of camp during the past couple of weeks. The medical officer has secured a print of War Department film on venereal diseases. Post this order for the soldiers to see the film.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to just kind of call this an experiment, a failed experiment.
No, you know what the problem is?
It's not me, it's the film.
Yeah, and actually, that's the Croods 3.
Oh, shit. Sex, that's a rough cut.
Sex Hygiene, yeah. Starring Ryan Reynolds.
Damn, that was really disappointing. I really was waiting for that, like, booming voice. Sexual hygiene, like that. Oh, wow, I've never seen you blush before. That's what it looks like.
When I get that feeling, I want sexual hygiene. Well, even though you feel like that was a failed experiment, it was probably more entertaining to the listeners than what I planned on talking about here, which was my complex packing strategy.
Ooh, yeah, I got a little taste of that before the show. Just a
because
little dab.
I'm doing, just a little dab will do you when it comes to my complex packing strategies. Because I am at your house this morning because I will be heading down to the airport, going to Chicago this afternoon, doing Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me tomorrow. And then on Friday, flying back to Portland, where we're doing Livewire Friday night in Portland. And then Saturday morning, I'm flying home, but Carrie and I are going to the small maritime village of Port Townsend, Washington.
Did you forget something?
I didn't. Did I forget an item?
Yeah, did you forget something from when you lived there? You got to go back and get it.
Yeah, exactly. It's been a while.
It's
but
been years.
Yeah. So and then after Port Townsend, we're going to Seattle, where I'm going to be back right back here, back in this room, recording an episode of TBTL on Sunday. And then Monday morning, I fly to Vermont and talk to a cheesemonger out there. And then Tuesday night, I fly to New York, and I'm in New York for the rest of the week. Fly home.
Is that for cheese, too?
It's for working at the home offices of CBS Sunday morning. My point in all this is it's this bizarre kind of like week and a half, 2 week trip with a tiny pass back through Bellingham in the middle of it. And so what I had to do last night was I had to pack two bags. One is the bag that I have with me here that I'm going to use for the first like 3-4 days of the trip. And then I'm going to like – Carrie's going to pick me up at the airport in Bellingham on Saturday morning. We're going to go to Port Townsend. And I had to pack another bag for her to bring so that I can then like do a swap.
How long is your pass back through your home?
It could not even take me back to Burbank Springs. It could literally be I land at the airport, she grabs me, because we have to catch a ferry to go
to
Port Townsend. My point in all this is that last night I was, admittedly, a few glasses of wine in, just walking around like an insane person with this, the most complicated checklist you've ever seen of things that I needed to pack. And I was checking them off, and I was like trying my hardest to just like get everything perfectly dialed in so that I can do like I can make all of this travel work and not be bringing stuff I don't need, but also have access to things that I need later. I'm having shoes shipped to the hotel in Portland.
Oh, wow.
That was another life hack it, buddy, that I did.
Why are you shipping?
Because I needed some. I'm wearing a suit on Friday night, and I wanted some sort of dressy shoes. I wanted some dressy sneakers, to be honest with you. But I didn't want to have to take them with me to Portland, and so I bought some on Zappos and had.
Or you didn't want to take them to Chicago?
Yes, thank you. So I'm having them delivered from Zappos to the hotel in Portland.
I see.
I've
ordered them online.
I've life hacked this to within an inch of its life.
And I like the fact that you said you did all this so that you wouldn't bring anything unnecessary. But your definition of unnecessary is very different than mine. Like, you're like, if I accidentally take four electric toothbrushes.
I know where this is going. You will never let me live that down.
Oh, man. I meant to only pack my three light electric toothbrushes. I didn't mean to bring all four.
I am, by the way, starting to bring, like, more and more stuff that is probably unnecessary, because for me, the key to feeling
blacklight posters
comfortable when I'm traveling and in different, you know, environments, different hotels and stuff, I like to have some of the comforts of home, including access to my Quip electric toothbrush.
Right.
Shout out to sponsor Quip. I bring a fairly elaborate audio setup so that I can play my little drops, and I have a stand for the microphone because it's like,
you know. It's all for work. At first I thought you meant like so that when you're done working, you can, I'm not even joking. I thought you meant just so that you can listen to music nicely.
No, but I print it out because I'm not going to do the show, this show from my house for like, I don't know, 10 days or something. I printed out 10 show sheets.
Oh, just like blank show sheets.
Well, they have the donors of the day each day.
Yeah.
They have a place for me to write what the topics are going to be. And I considered, Andrew, this is the insane part.
You're going to bring a printer?
No. Although
it's a fair question.
Well, the next best thing, when I'm at my house, I have the show sheet, which I just fired across the room.
Watch out, David Letterman. Exactly. Is he still doing that on his new show? Like when he's interviewing Obama, is he throwing cards over his shoulder?
And I don't think
the sound of breaking glass.
He's a calmer, more stately David Letterman these days. I got this show sheet. As you guys know, I'm very pro paper. Andrew, very anti paper.
I'm pro tree.
That's one way to look at it. And so I have these show sheets. I've printed out like 10 of them so that when I'm on the road, I'll be able to refer to them, because I don't like hopping around on my computer screen to keep all this stuff straight.
Mm-hmm.
But what I literally considered last night was also packing this plastic small kind of sandwich board that I have at my house that I use in my office, so that when I'm talking to you, I have the show sheet. It's not just sitting on the table.
Oh.
It's actually like, you know,
like
what I mean?
Broadcast copy stand, sort of.
Exactly. Something like sitting on a little.
Yeah.
It's not that little, though. It's sitting on a plastic thing.
Yeah.
It's clipped in and I can see it. And I literally considered packing that thing so I can be in the hotel room in New York and I can have my show sheet clipped. And
right.
And then I thought, this is a bridge too far, for you.
Here's what you can do instead of that. If anything, just take the smallest roll of tape you can find, just like some Scotch tape, and then or is it Scottish tape? I think it's, bring some Scottish tape. And then
has that ever been a debate?
Just find something like a book or like one of those I feel like often you'll go to a hotel and they'll have like a binder is the wrong word, but some sort of a booklet that you open and it's got all the fancy restaurants you can go to and stuff. Just like kind of set that up and then tape it.
Yeah, there's a bunch of ways I could solve this problem. My point is that I'm becoming slightly loony. Mm-hmm. Like I'm trying to bring all of the comforts of home. I think it's a coping mechanism because when I was talking about this with Carrie as we were driving to get the rental car this morning, because I came down here in a rental car.
That's my wife.
I was like, why? And we need to take a break, obviously. But I was like, why? Why do I dread traveling when fortunately I get to stay in perfectly nice hotels? As you know, I'm very particular about the seat I have on the airplane. So I'm usually at least in a decent seat. Like, everything about the process has been kind of made the least worst version of it. All you're doing is kind of just sitting and waiting. You're sitting in a metal tube flying through the sky. You're sitting at an airport drinking a cup of coffee. You're sitting in a hotel room eating some peanut M&Ms.
Why do you do a lot of sitting?
None of it.
That's why you hate traveling so much. Is so much sitting.
None of it is really that bad. Why does it add up to a bad feeling?
Because you're away from home for a long time. I mean, people like being at home. Who are you talking to?
Well, right. One of our nation's leading recluses.
Yeah.
All right. We got to do a quick break. When we come back, we'll talk about cloned animals, do some emails and V-mails, and a bunch of other stuff. Stay with us. Is this off the Croods soundtrack?
It is. That's really some hand clappy, boot stompy stuff right there, isn't it?
Yeah, who is that?
It is the Old Canes. I know nothing about them other than the fact that my friend Cary Grenz, who's a brilliant science writer and who painted that
painting right over my head of the horse that's kind of missing a head. I said she's a good science writer. She's not great at fixing horses. That's a horse she tried to fix, and then she painted it.
Yeah, that's that's obviously an homage to the song. I've been through the desert on a horse with no head.
That's exactly right. She gave me this album on, like, she burned it for me 15 years ago. It's called Early Morning Hymns, and I absolutely love it, and I don't know anything about them or it.
The Old Canes.
The Old Canes.
Let's do this real quick before we forget. And by we, I mean me.
It's on your sheet.
See, it's just got the tactile sense.
Yeah, I do like that, though.
These are the donors of the day. These are the people who are making today's episode of TBTL possible. They donated during the TBTL-a-thon. Those donations, they get all collected up, and then they pay for things. They pay for equipment. They pay me and Andrew to do this. They pay for the engineers who help us do things. It's not a cheap operation. They pay for cybersecurity seminars that we take.
I noticed that you came in here today with a necklace of thumb drives that look of varying ages. Some of them are kind of beaten up. Where'd you get all those thumb drives?
I don't know why this is, when you say that, I don't know why this is what it brings to my mind, but it's like, it's just a bizarro version of Apocalypse Now. I'm Colonel Kurtz, but I'm an IT guy who's just gone native.
There are worse things on Funny or Die. Like, I could see that.
Can you imagine? You're just like, so here's the sketch. It's like, it basically follows, you know, Apocalypse Now, which is, of course, based on Heart of Darkness. It's just, they're looking for Terry, the IT guy.
Because he doesn't, because his outgoing message on his voicemail is, I don't check this voicemail line, which is a real issue we had with an IT person, our first point of contact for emergencies, who had a office, not unlike Colonel Kurtz, deep in the bowels of the building.
So the Martin Sheen character is like sent to the building to figure out what's going on with Terry, the IT guy, who nobody can find. And you wander around the building and you finally find him in a server room, just like wearing a necklace of thumb drives, shirtless, just whispering the horror and two level identification system.
It's very dark, but his face isn't lit from afar by flames, but by the flickering lights of the rack room and all of the computers in there.
I honestly think that that's a genius idea we just had.
I think. All right, do we have the follow through though? That's the question.
Nope, not at all. Let's thank these donors of the day. They had the follow through, Andrew.
Yes, they did.
They had the follow through to support TBTL, to go to TBTL.net to make their donation, and we sure do appreciate it. Those people are Michael Sammons of Houston, Texas, Emily Atkinson of Brevard, North Carolina.
Brevard?
Yeah. I feel like there's a Brevard in Florida, but.
Oh, there is.
But that doesn't mean that doesn't mean the North Carolina place. Mm. Is a Brevard. It could be a Brevard. Catherine Backman of Lacey, Washington, and Marissa Ebeling of Kansas City, Missouri. It's a decent distribution.
Yeah, I'll take that any day of the week.
It's heavily weighted towards the southern part of the United States. But then you got some Missouri. You got some. That's the Midwest, right?
Yeah, I would call the Missouri the Midwest.
Michael, Emily, Catherine, and Marissa. Thank you so much for making this show possible. And I mean this episode, 2586, but also this show, TBTL. Thank you for making it up. You know, I was on my drive down here, Andrew, talking to a fellow that I know who's a comedian who's looking to get into the podcast game. He actually has a podcast, but he's looking to – I know. I was like, just stop. We don't need another podcast. But he was asking me about doing a podcast in the public radio sphere because he was thinking that might be something he wanted to explore. And it was like I was trying to sort of explain to him the TBTL model. And as I was explaining it to him over the phone, it struck me of how remarkable it is to me that this works. Mm-hmm. Because I was like, well, there's a couple of ways you can do this. You can just build up a huge number of listeners and then you can just sell ads and then you could probably, you know, make money that way. Or you can do what we've done, which is make a very bizarre, kind of, you know, what would you, how would you describe our show generously as far as what the appeal is?
Oh, I would
niche-y,
say culty.
Culty?
Mm-hmm.
So you could make
but I'm technically not allowed to say that, by the way. I wanted to put that in some promotional materials, but it got struck in at the highest levels of APM. Did you know this?
No.
This is a true story. I mean, I wouldn't say the highest levels, but me and the person who was working on this just decided that cult is a good way of describing this. If we want other shows to read promos for this show, that's kind of a good way describing what TBTL is. But that got kicked up to his boss, who refused to allow us to use the word culty because of negative connotations with cults.
I guess we can't do our big Kool-Aid party we were going to do this summer.
I guess not. With you wearing your USB necklace.
Anyway, I was trying to describe the TBTL business model to this guy, and as I was saying it out loud, it struck me it's just how amazing it is that this is still happening now, more than 10 years in. You, the listeners, send in money when we do the TBTL-a-thon, and many of you on a recurring basis, and then that supports the operation. It's incredible. It's a miracle, and we thank you for helping make the TBTL miracle possible. So thanks, Michael, Emily, Catherine, and Marissa. We really appreciate it. You also paid for those saxophone lessons I've been taking.
Really quickly, before we get to top story, I just wanted a quick check-in. Would you say, like, how is everything going? Like, am I even duller than usual today? Am I managing to be just slightly sharp? Like, how's it all feeling to you from that side of the table?
Let's talk about the half-life of you thinking about the comment that I made when I said more dull.
I am just kidding, because you also said sharper. Like, my whole...
My
whole argument doesn't stand on legs.
I played it both ways.
I know. I'm just being...
But I think you will be thinking
dramatic.
About that. I think the half-life is 2 weeks.
I did not. I don't actually take that seriously.
All right. Let's do some top stories.
But you didn't answer the question.
Hello and welcome to Top Story.
Sharper than I was expecting.
Okay, good.
How about that?
I've been working the refs.
So I saw this story in my hometown newspaper, the New York Times, about Barbara Streisand cloning her dogs. It was actually it was a long article about her in Variety, talking about, I guess specifically, her attempt to kind of like help promote women in the Hollywood industry, particularly probably in directorial stuff and running studios. And this was, of course, in sort of anticipation of the Oscars this weekend.
Oh, that's this Sunday.
That is. And so that was what the article was about. But there was, as Matt Stevens wrote in the New York Times, there was one nugget, a brief comment about her dogs that drew the most attention in the piece. And it was the fact that two of her three, and I'm going to just absolutely massacre the pronunciation because it is French, but she has dogs that are apparently called Coton de Tulare.
They sound fun.
Coton de Tulare dogs. Two of her three, I'm going to call them Codys.
Okay.
Two of her three Codys were clones. Now, you're not looking at the article, right?
I am not. No.
I want to play, let's play a little game.
Okay.
The two of the dogs have been cloned from a dog named Samantha, who was also obviously a Coton de Tulare, or a Cody, as they're popularly known.
Mm-hmm.
This dog, Samantha, was 14 when she passed away last year. What do you think the names... This isn't going to totally pay off, but I just want to get your sense of what you think Barbara Streisand's... The Codys that are now alive, that are the clones of Samantha, what do you think those dogs are named?
Are they both boys?
They both appear to be, well, they're clones of a female dog.
Oh, right. Sorry.
So they are female. I'm not
like twins, but clones. Yeah. Okay.
I want to warn you in advance, they're not crazy names. Like, this is not going to pay off.
I thought for some reason I was thinking, oh, maybe they're masculine versions of Samantha, but clearly that's not it.
Well, let me also tell you, look at the picture. I'm going to turn my computer around. They're actually kind of adorable little fluffy white dogs.
Okay, yeah.
If I was going to compare them to another maybe more well-known breed, they look a little like a Havanese to me or something like that. What do you think her dogs are named?
I'm going to say Snowball and Gretchen.
Ooh, good guesses.
Thank you.
Miss Violet and Miss Scarlet.
Oh, interesting. Very formal.
I guess I just wanted to, those seemed like the kind of names that, like, fancy French clone dogs that are little puffballs.
Clone dog millionaire.
So anyway, she has a third dog named Miss Fanny, who is a distant cousin of the original dog, but I do not believe is not cloned from the dog. It's just from the same, like, you know, breeder or something. Mm. So anyway, it is possible, by the way, this article points out, to clone your dog.
Well, clearly.
I know, but I mean, like, I don't think most people even knew that. Did you even know that was an option?
I don't know. I feel like I've had plenty of conversations with Genevieve about whether, because Genevieve, you know our relationship with our cats, right?
Yeah.
I love Theo to death, but he's very problematic. Professor Bananas, very, very cute, loving cat, but also scared of everything and is running away all the time. And there are times when we just want a cat that is both very loving and will sit on our laps like Theo and not run away all the time like Bananas, but also have kind of a more cute personality like Bananas. All of that is to say is I would never clone Theo because he's a problem cat as much as I love him.
But I hope he doesn't hear this.
Doors are closed. Genevieve, though, I think is it would be more tempted to clone Bananas. She has a very, very strong connection with Bananas, even though Bananas is not a perfect cat. Mm-hmm. Bananas won't sit on her lap most of the time. You know, she plays hard to get. She hides behind large and medium-sized appliances. But Genevieve loves that cat so much, I think that she would be closer to cloning Bananas than I would. I just don't know that I've ever had the pet that I would want to clone.
Wow.
But I also just don't, I don't think I ever would have the pet. Like, I don't know. I just can't imagine having, like, even if it was the absolute perfect cat or dog, I imagine during the grieving process you would fantasize about it, but I can't imagine actually going through with it. It would seem weird to me.
Well, it's about $50,000.
Oh, well, that's also going to help my decision.
Per animal.
Uh-huh.
So that's something. I mean, if you're Babs.
Yeah.
If you're Streisand, if you're Yentl. You've Papa, can you hear me? you've got the money for that, but for everybody else, that's definitely an investment. Also, just some other kind of details about it. A South Korean research team announced it had cloned the first dog in 2005. It took about 3 years of work and more than 1,000 tries. It happened with help from a yellow Labrador retriever who served as the surrogate mother. A cloned male Afghan hound named Snuppy was born. Snuppy stood for Seoul National University Puppy.
Oh.
The Snuppy. And then in 2008, a California company partnered with the South Korean laboratory, and they auctioned off 5 chances to clone 5 dogs. And so now these days it's, I guess it's out there in the public, or at least if you're Barbara Streisand, you can pull the strings you need to get your dog cloned. Now, will the dogs be similar? This is the big question. Researchers at the South Korean lab say that the dogs that it has cloned have been healthy, and they have almost always looked and acted like the dogs that they were cloned from.
Wow. Do you remember the This American Life? Was both a radio story, but they also did it on their TV show about the
yes,
cow.
The bull.
Yeah, the bull that the farmers had. It was like the sweetest bull. It was like a member of the family practically. Then when it died, they had it cloned, and then it was like something from Pet Cemetery.
I think the bull
cemetery.
Was named Chance, and then the other one was named Second Chance.
Yes. But it didn't come back right.
No, exactly. And that's the thing. Like, I was thinking about this as it relates to the pod dog and the Bay Kitty, right? Like, if, you know, by the time Rudy is getting ready to shuffle off this mortal coil, maybe the price of cloning pets will have gone, you know, down. There'll probably be an app for it, you know, or there'll be some gig economy version where you go on, it geolocates you, you go on an app and it just brings you a new Rudy.
Right.
But I was like, yeah, if, how would I feel about a dog that looked very much like Rudy and was made from Rudy, but was a little different than Rudy? Like, would that be, it'd be sort of like when the mountain comes back in Game of Thrones.
Why is Rudy wearing a mask all the time?
Rudy's just carrying around the house, menacing me. Carrie and I have a disagreement about where to go for dinner. And I'm like, no.
Rudy just comes walking behind
me. I really wanted Thai food. Rudy just like, with just like one really red eye just fucking comes marching in.
You know what I automatically think? And I'm, not saying this is a good idea, but I am being honest when I say my brain automatically goes there. I start thinking, well, if we can just clone dogs, why don't we just start cloning giant dogs? Like, wouldn't it be cool to see a dog the size of a horse?
Well, that's more of a hybridization process.
Know.
Because we could probably do that right now, right?
You and I?
Well,
like,
no.
Right now?
I don't mean us. I mean society, like the scientific community.
Like you somehow breed.
Because that's not a cloning thing. That's a breeding thing. You just have to you have to find the biggest Great Dane in America and breed it with the second biggest Great Dane in America, and then find the biggest of their offspring, and then mate it with the biggest. You know what I mean?
I want to do it now. Like, I don't want to have to go through generations.
I want my giant dog now.
Can't we just mix some cells together, from horses and dogs?
I'll give it a shot.
Just hey, go in my top drawer over there. You'll find some beakers. Just start mixing things up. I got big plans.
I completely understand. If somebody did this, by the way, I would, even Barbara Streisand, I totally and completely understand why you would do this. I don't judge anybody who, if they have the resources, because Carrie and I talk about this all the time. We love Rudy so much. And everybody listening to me who has pets, they, I'm sure, love their pets. And I'm sure some people, their life practically revolves around their pets. And so I'm going to be so sad when Rudy's done on this planet. I'm also not going to miss the shedding.
Yeah, right.
No joke. It's ridiculous.
Get a big poodle next time. Sorry, I'm not trying to replace Rudy already.
I don't want a poodle, but what I think I would go in for is a, one of those, speaking of hybrids, I do think I could get into a golden doodle.
Oh, yeah, right.
Golden retriever, poodle, no shedding.
Mm-hmm.
I feel bad, though, already considering Rudy's replacement.
Yeah. No, you should.
But I also think that again, peace and love to anybody who would want to do this or whatever. But, I also think that it's kind of nice to have a different pet with a different personality.
Yes.
I think that's kind of – it's like sort of genetic diversity mm-hmm. in your life. It's well, really, it's gepetic diversity. No,
I don't know.
I felt like there was something.
I actually think my brain turned off in the middle of
that
joke.
I also woke up 15 minutes before the show, which is weird because I drove here.
Yeah, right.
But you know what I mean? I think it's kind of I think it's probably a good thing to have different pets throughout your life that have different personalities and traits. And there's going to be some good and some bad. And I kind of think that's how it's supposed to work.
Yeah. You know, I was not a dog person at all, really, until I met my friend's dog, Kayla. This would have been a little more than 10 years ago when I was living in New Hampshire, and Kayla was an amazing dog, unlike any dog I'd ever met before. The first dog that really got me to love dogs, and from that moment on, I started paying more attention to dogs and playing with my friend's dogs, and Kayla was just amazing. Raised perfectly by my friend Ben. He was kind of a snow bum, kind of a ski bum for a while. He didn't take time away from college, but that was kind of his culture.
Just trying to tell me he had a cocaine problem.
He was always bumming cocaine from me. But the dog was just always with him. He just gave her enough leash that she had such a personality and so much independence, but was also an amazingly good dog. Then Kayla died. Maybe I knew the dog for 2 or 3 years. And, Ben was just, as you would imagine, he was just devastated. This was a dog that he had when he was still single, becoming an adult. And then, he got married. He had kids now. And then the dog passed away. And it's just the end of an era is the end of a dog. They waited a really long time. They got one dog, a follow-up dog that they tried to adopt, but it just was kind of a bad dog, and so they got rid of it, and it's been years and years. And now I sort of feel like the family was ready, and I just saw maybe about 4 months ago they have another dog, and they got some young rescue dog, and you can tell that this dog is such a great fit for the family, and it's enough time passed where it's not like Kayla's replacement anymore. This is a long, boring story about dogs and people that nobody except for me knows, but I think the point is maybe the first dog, they weren't quite ready. It was still kind of a Kayla follow-up.
Right.
Right?
It was a rebound dog.
It was a rebound dog. It didn't work out for a lot of different reasons. But then enough time went by, and now I'm looking at this relationship that Ben and his family are building with this new dog they have, and the time and everything is just right again. And it's closer. This dog, you can already tell, running around the slopes and doing all this stuff is kind of closer to what their platonic ideal of a dog is. So I think you're right. There are just processes. Like, you don't want your dog to die and be like, well, that's really sad. How can I get another one cloned as fast as
possible? Which is exactly what I would do. Like, when Rudy passes on, I will be super sad, and probably within like 2 or 3 days, I'll be like, we should look at puppies, because I want to like not feel sad, and I want to plug a dog into the puppy size hole in my heart. And Carrie, being smarter than me, will probably be like, let's give it a minute. And then I'll be like, why do you ruin my life? All
and
I want is
sleep
a dog. I work 30 jobs. Can I get a high priced designer dog when I want one?
So you sound fun.
Oh yeah. Laugh a minute.
All right. I know you know about TBTL, the podcast. You're listening to it right now, but have you tried TBTL, the newsletter? Because you can. Just go over to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. I gotta say, it's a lot of fun. Every week, Luke and I record a little video that we include in the newsletter. It's called Hey Dummies. We answer your questions, any questions you want to ask us. Well, there's all kinds of things in the newsletter. Don't take my word for it. Here, this is Mary. She's a big fan of the newsletter.
It has a nice welcome introduction, but then you have these phenomenal GIFs that are so much fun. You talk about amazing, wonderful people, and you introduce us to new things. And then the songs of the week. Oh, my gosh. And it just makes me so happy.
It can make you happy, too. I mean, listen, this is coming from Mary. She doesn't even listen to the podcast. She's here just for the newsletter. No joke. So, again, go to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. And we'll try to bring a little extra sunshine to your inbox every Friday afternoon.
Here I go once again with the email. Every week, I hope that it's from a female. Oh, man. It's not from a female.
All right. Let's jam out a few emails, my friends.
I have one quickie. And then after that, all I have is an OPP, and I don't know if we can do that quickly. But maybe I can lay the groundwork.
We've got, by my estimates, about 14 minutes.
Here's an email I got from Tracy regarding that sneezing story we talked about yesterday. Again, the CDC trying to get people to sneeze into the crooks of their elbows instead of their hands. And I was befuddled because it just seemed like, I know that our generation was taught slightly differently, but I thought for years and years now, kids are being taught to sneeze into their elbows. And Tracy agrees with me. She says, Liz Lemon got in on this back in 2012. Did you see this email?
No.
She says, in the episode The Tuxedo Beings, Liz gets sick after being sneezed on while riding the subway and says, didn't anybody see Obama's press conference on how to sneeze? Later in the episode, while dressed up as the Joker for various reasons, she demonstrates this to other subway riders. Get with it, CDC. We've been doing this since the bird flu days. Power out, Tracy.
Why don't I have all of 30 Rock purchased and downloaded onto my computer so I can watch it at any time?
It is a great go-to. I have it on
DVD, but like my computer doesn't even have a DVD slot on it anymore.
I don't have a CD slot on this thing either. I have like some portable like drive reader that I keep in a drawer somewhere that I can plug into my laptop if I want to rip somebody's CD.
I feel like
it's not exactly handy.
Any computer of mine that I'm going to be traveling with, it needs to have all of not the last season. It needs to have like the first 4 seasons of Arrested Development on it.
Yeah.
Needs
their
to have,
first three, you mean.
First three, rather. Yeah. It needs to have 30 Rock on it. It needs to have the movie Waiting for Guffman.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, you know what? Let's just do this. I have an odd it's a short list, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I have 5 movies that I actually bought at some point and that are like downloaded into my iTunes, which I could watch it at any moment.
Oh, and they're in the cloud, so it doesn't matter which computer you got.
Yeah, I think that must be what's going on. I don't understand technology. The movies that are currently on my computer that I purchased at some point are Gattaca.
That's a great movie, but
I love that movie. I don't know. I had to be drunk somewhere in a hotel room like
Jude Law, I believe.
Great Jude Law, not cameo, but like character. You got some Uma Thurman. You got some Ethan Hawke.
Oh, that's right. The Hawkster. The Hawkman.
I got Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
That's good, yeah.
I have It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah, that's on
the
brand.
The aforementioned Waiting for Guffman. And then The Princess Bride.
Oh, that's good, yeah.
And I will bet you dollars to donuts. Every one of these movies was purchased when I was at a hotel by myself, probably had a couple drinks, and just got a powerful hankering to see Gattaca for some reason.
And well, you should. Like, you only have one sci-fi movie on there, and that's a really good one. I haven't seen it in
years. I saw that in a theater.
Really?
Which is interesting because, like, I'm not the kind of person who, A, goes to a ton of movies, even back in those days, and B, would... Like, I wasn't a sci-fi person, per se. I don't know why I decided to see that movie, but man, is it good. Gore Vidal is in it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I'm going to go to the movie. I think I saw Black Panther this weekend.
How was it?
It was good, but my experience watching it wasn't great because we didn't realize we were going to a 3D viewing of it. I didn't even know they made it in 3D. And so when we showed up, and they're like, okay, take the glasses. We're like, oh, no. And I don't have a huge thing against 3D movies. But in this case, I would have chosen not to watch in the 3D experience. And this was the first time, I wear regular glasses. And the glasses they gave me were not very big. They were, like, narrower than the glasses I'm wearing. So the whole time, I could see around the glasses too much. Like, I don't know. They need to make 3D glasses bigger for people who wear glasses to adequately cover them. And usually other theaters I've been do it. And we were in the very, very, very last row of a relatively small theater. But because of that, it was just not a very good viewing experience. So I thought the movie was pretty good. I thought it was confusing at first, almost like it was a sequel and I had missed a bunch of stuff. But then it comes back around and explains it. It turns out it just throws you into the action. So now that I know that, I kind of want to go back and kind of watch it again in a much more of a kind of a comfortable setting where I can just, like, let it wash over me. And also, this is my bachelor weekend, so it just seems like fun. And I love going to see movies with Genevieve. I saw it with her last week, but I just like this idea of maybe, like, going to see, like, a matinee, maybe downtown, and then meander to maybe... what are those sports bar? Like, what's the sports bar in Lower Queen Anne?
Are you thinking of Aussies?
No, but someplace maybe like that. There's one that I find really, really cozy. They're kind of famous for their Bloody Marys. And sometimes I like to wander in there after a movie and drink a Bloody Mary and watch whatever stupid basketball game is on the TV. I don't even like basketball. I just like that moment that I just described.
The last 3D movie I saw was... what's the one with the Na'vi, the, like, alien?
Oh, Christ, that's bad.
The James Cameron movie that was...
Avatar.
So that's... How long ago was that? Oh, my God.
That was a long time ago.
Is that, like, 10 years ago?
More, right?
Oh, please don't. The last 3D movie I saw was It's a Wonderful Life. how long ago was that movie?
Avatar came out in 2009, so nope, it's not more than 10.
But almost
10.
So that's a lot. So I'm sure that the technology has vastly improved, but... My reaction to that 3D movie was, this is a lot of hype for, like, some of the ferns on the side to kind of look like they're maybe, like, sticking out of the movie screen. And I was just like, to your point, like, until the 3D – and by the way, you know who loves the 3D technology.
Nope, I have no idea. I have no idea.
You know who will get you watching – The Great Gatsby in 3D at his house right after you've watched some Def Leppard DVDs.
Some 3D Guns N' Roses.
What? That's a thing?
I thought the latest live Guns N' Roses Blu-ray he had was 3D. I could be wrong.
I love the idea of seeing Axl Rose's terrible dreads in more dimensions.
I like to picture his broken leg being pointed at me during the show.
In watching, by the way, we're talking about Kamara Kev. In watching that movie in 3D, the whole time my attention went away from the film and went into, is this 3D thing going to blow my mind? Like, in other words, I wasn't really watching what was happening in the movie as much as I was trying to figure out if the 3D was, like, living up to my expectations.
Yeah, I
could
see
my
that.
Experience really became about this gimmick of the three-dimensional thing, which, like... again, maybe it's gotten better, but I've never had that moment that's like they show you, like you think 3D is going to be like you're watching a movie and you're like, whoa,
right?
That thing just flew right past me. That's how I talk when I'm at a 3D.
I know.
Whoa,
whoa, man.
That hasn't been my experience, and I'd rather just see. I mean, Lord knows. Like the traditional movie format in these days with the theaters and the sound system and all that, it sufficiently takes me into the world of the movie. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe at some – now, I'll tell you what I would do is when – and I know this is just a matter of time. You will go into the movie theater. They will give you a VR headset and everybody will just watch the movie. I guess then the question is, why are you at the movie theater?
Right. That's what I'm wondering.
Maybe that won't be a thing. But, I mean, eventually we will be immersed with VR stuff, right, for these things. And that seems kind of interesting. Or is that too much?
I don't know.
Is that more in the movie than you actually want to be?
Or is, again, is the headset going to kind of take away from it? Because I would say if I went into Black Panther and they said it's a 3D movie, but there was nothing I had to do extra to experience the 3D. If 3D technology just meant you go into a room and it's all the immersiveness of a 3D movie, but I'm not trying to balance glasses over my glasses, and people who don't wear glasses are having to wear glasses, so they're thinking about that. I think it would be good, and I actually like everything from, you know, the shark jumping out at you to the ferns around the side.
That's what it would sound like.
I have no problem with that, and I think you would get used to it. I think after you go to a few 3D movies, you're not like, is it going to jump out at me anymore? You just get used to it. And again, I've seen my fair share of like these action movies in 3D. But I don't know. I think that, like, what did you say? Immersive headsets.
VR.
Because isn't that just – why would you go to a place where you have to borrow somebody else's VR and snap it to your face? And it just seems
right,
like –
right. That you're right. That doesn't make sense. So let's just say in 20 years – movies, a lot of them, maybe all of them, are being released in a format that is for VR.
Because that they still go to theaters first.
Well, but the assumption, of course, is that the more immersed you can be, the higher the resolution, the better the technology, the better the experience. But and I, by the way, this is 100% a function of me being 41 years old. I don't actually like some of the new TVs that are so crisp that when you watch a show or even a movie, it's the resolution is so high. I like, you know, film famously is, what is it, 28 frames a second?
28?
You know, film obviously is not a, it's not a super crisp medium because it's taking pictures, but it's not, there's things that are getting left out. I love the look of film. Like, it's probably just comforting to me because of my age and because it's what I've grown up with. What is the internet telling you?
It's all over the place. It depends on a lot of things. But I know what you're saying about the kind of warm, almost roundness of
films.
Right,
because it's not like when you see something that's shot digitally, it's taking way more pictures. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not the science of it, but it's, you know what I mean? It's much crisper. I don't like that. Like, I like things to be, you know, I want things to be clear. I don't want things to be you know, full of static, but I don't want it to be super duper duper vivid depending on what I'm watching. And I also don't want to be in the movie. I'm thinking about like When Harry Met Sally. I love that movie. This American Life just did a great episode on rom-coms.
Oh, really?
And they were talking about When Harry Met Sally, and I was listening to clips from it, and I was like, oh, I want to watch that movie. But I don't want to be in When Harry Met Sally. I don't want to VR into it. I don't want to feel like I'm sitting there in the room when Billy Crystal, or in the car when Billy Crystal and Meg Ryan are arguing about men and women's relationships.
Right.
And that goes for like all movies. Like, I don't want to be in the movie, but we will soon be at a point where I can be in the movie or feel like I'm right there with them. I don't really want that level of closeness.
You know what I think is when you're talking about that kind of more 70s era kind of film feel, I always think of the movie Patton, and I think of that maybe because it's always on demand somewhere, and that's, if I had a list of movies on my laptop like you do, Patton might be one of them.
Wow, because surprising.
I know, it's very, it is somewhat surprising, but
it didn't take you for a George C. Scott head.
I am, though. Have you ever seen the movie?
I like when I was a kid, I think I saw a little bit of it and it was over my head, but maybe I should check it out as an adult.
I really think you should.
Okay.
I mean, it is incredible. And the opening scene is George C. Scott as Patton just standing on a stage addressing a bunch of troops whom we never see. And behind him is the biggest American flag ever. So it's just
yes.
Like from the very, very that iconic shot. Mm-hmm. And I think that just got me hooked from the first time I saw it. It's just
amazing. And so sometimes when it's late at night and I can't decide what to watch, that's a movie that I'll just kind of put on because I like the vibe and the feel of it. Like, sure, there are some bang-em-up war scenes, and usually late at night I don't like to listen to a lot of crashing sounds. but generally speaking, like, that movie encapsulates that era of film just visually that you're talking about, the kind of smooth, you know, rounded, warmer feel of a film.
And, I mean, we're getting further and further away from that. I mean, I wouldn't say very few, but less and less stuff is being shot on film. And they have ways, they claim that they have ways of you know, shooting digitally, but it has that kind of film effect. Mm-hmm. And they'll, you know, they're getting better, that they'll perfect it eventually. I still feel like I can kind of tell a lot of the time. And also, this is not related to the kind of film you're shooting on, but I look forward to them getting CGI figured out, because I still feel like CGI is... I can almost always see it, and I'll like read about, like, oh, Planet of the Apes, and it's like Andy Serkis, he has 9,000 ping pong balls on his face, and it's like I watch it and I'm like, yeah, it's like a friggin' computer monkey.
I'd rather watch a movie with about a guy who's got 9,000 ping pong balls on his face.
Ooh,
like, do all of that,
yeah,
but then don't add the special effects. Let's see what that movie's like.
That could be our follow up project to our Heart of Darkness IT short film. That'll be our proof of concept, and then from there we'll expand to our movie about the guy covered in ping pong balls. All right, we got to wrap this up. Yeah. I am remiss in that I did not write down any show titles.
Clone Dog Millionaire.
Oh,
it's
boom!
It's on brand. It's on topic.
When you are right, you are right. Thoughts on music?
Let's see here. What's a good song about film?
Let's see. How about this? How about Car by Built to Spill, because the refrain is, I want to see movies of my dreams.
That sounds good to me. I can't argue with that.
All right.
I can't argue with you.
And I can't stay mad at you. So I guess we'll be right back here tomorrow doing this again. Until then, enjoy the rest of your Wednesday, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow with more Imaginary Radio. Until then, please remember, no mountain too tall.
And good luck to all.
Let me know what you find out. I need a car, you need a guide, you need a map. If I don't die or worse, I'm gonna need a nap. At best, I'll be asleep when you get back. I wanna see it when you find out what comets, stars, and moons are all about. I wanna see them. Faces turn to backs and heads and slowly get smaller. I wanna see it now. I wanna see it now.
Power out.